The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Something else we've been talking about on the show today is, of course, the Dublin Task Force report. Richard Shakespeare is with me. He's the CEO of Dublin City Council. Richard, thanks a million for popping into studio. We really appreciate it. So, I mean, what are the things in this report? And we won't go to kind of everything in it in great detail, but what are the things that you think would have most impact on the city centre, the vibrancy and the life of the city centre?
Well, I think the one around revitalising O'Connell Street and its environs, and the type of things that we're looking at trying to do is to get the residential development, to get rid of the vacancy and dereliction, look at meanwhile use on that oft-talked about Hammerson site, and I suppose the repurposing of the GPO. I know the Taoiseach has stated publicly he would like a sort of some type of national museum to celebrate everything from, you know, the revolution to the peace process. So, you know what I mean? I think this is a very good start. I think, you know, there's an interdepartmental group has been set up, which we'll go into a bit more detail. So, but I think that it encompasses probably everything, you know, the piece around safety. When you look at the more people there are around, the safer you feel. So if you have people actually living on the street, part of the problem with O'Connell Street is that it is, you know, and that's one of the planning controls in place that we need to look at as a city council, is to try to get that living over the shop on our main thoroughfare, but also on the streets off it.
Yeah, which is a kind of a guardian knot others have tried to untie over the years. And you go back to, I think, to the mid-90s was Michael Smith, the minister, where we had the first lots scheme, as it was, the living over the shop. And none of them have been wildly successful, it's fair to say, you know, in the time since. So, I mean, is it planning? Is that kind of building regs and other issues kind of apply too strictly to those types of buildings? Or what's been the stumbling block, do you think, that you might get over this time?
Well, I think there's a viability issue, which is where the state can come in and acquire properties. And you might say for the delivery of affordable housing, you know, you can, I suppose, invest in that. But I do think there are issues around the building regulations. They are very strict. We probably have some of the strictest building regulations in Europe. We need to look at that. And I think that there has been work done on it, and there were amended guidelines brought out back in March, I think it was. So we'll just see how they play out in it. But I do think the state needs to invest. And I think that's probably where we've been lacking, and that takes capital, which I suppose the city council doesn't particularly have for that particular purpose. But I do believe that with appropriate interventions, and we can do it at scale, in that we can use our powers of repurchase in certain areas, particularly where buildings are vacant.
Is it, when you say kind of the state needs to invest, and that probably hasn't happened, as Dublin kind of fallen between two stools a bit in that sense, that, you know, it's within the city council's remit to be doing all this kind of managing and spending. At the same time, we all as a nation have a vested interest in the capital city, and so there maybe should be more kind of government direct kind of state level intervention.
I do think what we have is, and I think the report sort of calls it out, that the city council itself is underfunded, that I think collectively as the state we took our eye off the ball, and that was focused then last November, unfortunately. But I think if there was anything really positive to come out of it, it is the Taoiseach's task force. I had established a task force myself back in November last year to have a look, but you might say it was great to get that type of validation of the approach, and, you know, more stakeholders would come on board, I suppose, with the Taoiseach's task force. And in fairness to David McRedmond, he pulled together all the various key players, and that now has led to this interdepartmental working group and implementation group, which will be run out of the Department of the Taoiseach. So it probably has more clout than I do.
We were speaking to Minister for Justice Helen McEntee earlier, and you know, she acknowledged that a lot of the stuff in it, it's kind of they're fairly common sense proposals. You know, they're not necessarily kind of anything wildly new or hasn't been thought of before. The value, as she saw it, was that it's all down now on paper in a report, and it kind of it makes government accountable. But I guess that's easy to say. That the proof will be in, like anything, the proof will be in the pudding, won't it? There'll be no point in you and I sitting here 5 years, or the next version of me and the next version of you in 10 years, kind of saying, you know, isn't it a pity that that nothing was ever done about that task force report?
And I mean, I think what it is that, you know, there's the whole piece around accountability and responsibility.
Yeah.
But it needs to be appropriately funded. Now, to get to, I know those broad figures have been put out there. That needs to be worked through to see, you know, take, I suppose, working examples to put stuff on paper and see what it will cost. I'd say it was a high level run through. But the day-to-day stuff does cost money. And, you know, from I have to present a balanced budget to the elected members, and that's all around the property tax, the local, the, you know, the commercial rates, and, you know, we did do a, I suppose, a deep dive into the waste management side of the house, probably summer 23, and that identified the clear gaps that we had, and it was a lot of that was staffing, but also the machinery. And that we'd machinery off the road too often. So we've reinvigorated our fleet. We're halfway through the additional 105 staff that we need to provide, you know, the 24-hour cleaning to a wider part of the city centre. It was quite narrow, so that's what we've looked at. And so I think there has been, I would say this, of course, a marked improvement in how we're going. And then we've got the bagged waste bit, which 90 streets will be bag free come next for the 1st of January. So we're in the process of working with the waste management sector to, you might say, to rationalise that. And once those 90 streets, that's only 10% of the bagged streets throughout the capital. So that have a derogation from presenting it in sort of better, you know, the wheelie bins. But I do think there is really positive engagement from the waste management industry and ourselves, and we're working through and trying to find appropriate solutions. And like, I mean, the latest piece there has been the scavenging, human scavenging, as opposed to
the seagulls.
And
I see the kind of the little trays essentially kind of around the bin.
So
that people can leave their cans and bottles on.
We've been looking at that for about 6-9 months.
Yeah.
You know, in advance of the return scheme coming in to see how we could do it. So we did all the health and safety testing that you need to do and cover yourself from an insurance perspective, and that was launched last week by the Lord Mayor. So hopefully that'll be successful and we'll roll it out to more than 80 bins
in
the city centre. So, you know, it's progress.
Yeah. The financial constraints, I mean, is that just a perennial problem that kind of your predecessors have all had to deal with as well? Is it something that's gotten worse because, I mean, maybe the pace at which the city has been growing over recent years, and maybe financing hasn't grown at the same pace? Is it just cost inflation, that to do the same stuff costs more today than it did before?
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's all of the above.
Okay, yeah.
And people's expectations are higher.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the local government system as a whole went from 34,500 employees to 26,000 in the space of a year and a half, 2 years, back in 2009, 10, 11. And we're gradually building that back up, but you have to have the funding to do that. So we have a reasonably buoyant rate base, and the property tax is improving. We got our 20% back that was going into a national fund, our balancing fund. So we are able to make strides, but, you know, it's you can always do with more money, more people, and better fleet. And, you know, so you've got to look at that and what we have to do in terms of decarbonising. We have to drop our carbon footprint by 51% by 2030.
Yeah.
So that costs money as well, you know what I mean? So
what's the biggest contributor to your carbon footprint?
Ours would probably be the public lighting.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the shift to LEDs.
Yeah.
Some of our buildings would be, you know, the more historic buildings.
Yeah.
Would not be great. So, when I look at the civic offices in Wood Quay, it's probably a €200 million project to retrofit that.
Is
to
it?
bring it in compliance. So that just puts a sort of the scale of it, of the challenge. And we've to find innovative ways to reduce our carbon footprint across our fleet, the public lighting, our buildings, but also to advocate for everybody else. It's not just the city council. It is every one of us, businesses, residents, need to try to reduce our own carbon footprint.
I thought it was interesting, David McRedmond was on News Talk Breakfast with Shane and Ciara this morning talking about the report. And one of the things he talked about was just that a narrative has taken hold about Dublin City, that it's kind of a no-go area and that it's an unsafe place, it's dirty, you don't want to go there. And he was acknowledging the reality that, of course, there's dangerous parts in any kind of big urban conurbation, but that the narrative doesn't reflect reality. Like, how much of that
I had a similar conversation a couple of months ago with Shane and Ciara.
Yeah.
And I've never, okay, I'm from the nice, leafy South Dublin suburbs, but I've been working in the city centre for the last 7-8 years. And I have to confess, over that time, I don't think I've felt unsafe wherever I've gone. Now, as you say, there are, you might say, every city has places where, you know, common sense tells you, well, don't go down there. It's not lit.
Yeah.
It's not properly lit. There's nobody on the street.
Mm.
And so, but the perception of safety and that narrative catches hold. And you know what I mean? And in fairness, the guards are doing their bit. They need more funding.
Mm.
And, you know, there's an awful lot more policing goes on in the city than you'll actually see. You know, but I think there is the need for, you know, more visible policing. And it just gives that, you might give that sense, you know, you can't have guards on every street corner. But I think our part in that as a city council is to have the city loved in terms of how we treat it, how we clean it, how we don't allow vacancy and dereliction to grab hold, because that too feeds into that narrative. So I can only control what I can control. The guards are responsible for policing. They've inputted into the report. They've an ask in over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
But that's just for the city. That's just for the city centre. You know what I mean? That's, you know, they have a much bigger ask, I think, nationally.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah, you probably had, I guess like anything, people muddle together loads of different issues, don't they? And we had what happened last November, those awful scenes that your task force and then another task force, this one kind of born out of and everything. But then people kind of lump on top of it when that narrative takes hold, issues around kind of homelessness and rough sleeping and kind of iPad applicants kind of sleeping along the canal. And, you know, it's all kind of lumped together in people's minds as and creates a sense of unwelcoming.
It does. And in certain parts of the city, and I think it's called out in the report, you know, there needs to be a greater spread of, you know, our vulnerable citizens
who
the wraparound supports that they need. They're very complicated cases to a large extent. But, I mean, when you look at it, the greater Dublin area has 80% of the nation's homeless.
Yeah.
Accommodated by the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive. And 82% of that 80% reside in Dublin city centre.
Hmm.
You know, so it, and we just need to, you know, and that's largely because the wraparound supports are easier to put together.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you fold in then the international protection piece, the tents, all of, you know, and so hopefully, you know, that there's far more, I think, with this particular group and this interdepartmental working group, we'll look at all of those issues to see how best we can all work together. Because if we all work together, going in the same direction, we've a far better chance of getting success than if I'm off doing my thing, the guards are off doing theirs, international protection officer off doing theirs.
If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. It's
correct.
They say about
you
leadership.
Know what I mean? So I think what we need to do is that, and that's the great thing about it being run out of the Department of the Taoiseach, is that you can go no higher.
Yeah. in the state. So it provides a sense of leadership to the whole thing.
Very much so.
Well, listen, it's high up in the in tray for whoever takes over, I guess, government duties after
the
29th.
Yes, indeed.
So, Richard, listen, thanks a million for coming in.
No problem at all.
Richard Shakespeare, CEO of Dublin City Council.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.